Hello and welcome to Cyber Sound Bites, the podcast that explores how best to protect yourself, your family and friends online. We'll also keep you updated on the latest cyber threats whilst taking a deeper dive into subjects such as social media use, the dark web and online gaming. I'm Claire Chambers and this time we're talking all things MFA. That's multi-factor authentication. Richard Curtis runs the Digital Identity for Defence programme at the MOD. He'll be explaining what MFA is and why it's so important. But first, I asked him to tell me about his role.
I work for the Ministry of Defence over in Strategic Command. I work in a side programme called Digital Identity for Defence. So our role is to make sure that identities are secure, safe, and also the data that protects those identities are secure and safe as well. My role as the program manager for digital identity is to deliver capabilities such as multi-factor authentication. So multi-factor authentication is alive and already in use in Ministry of Defence in some forms, and I'm bringing a new capability to Ministry of Defence which will enhance the security posture.
Great, which is always good news. Let's start with the basics first. For anyone who doesn't know what multi-factor authentication is, can you just explain basically what it is?
Yeah, of course. So a lot of the listeners will probably use multi-factor authentication in their everyday life, but perhaps don't know it as the term of MFA or multi-factor authentication. So users in Ministry of Defence will often put a password into a laptop or a desktop to get in. And that's a form of authentication. That's a form of getting into a system. Now, in Ministry of Defence, we'll have several layers. So you'll put a password in or maybe a PIN code or an ID, which is unique to the user as well. These are all layers of authentication to allow you in. Typically as well, if you're a user that uses online banking or anything like that, when you log in to your bank, you'll get a code or a text message or be asked to put a PIN or some memorable ID. That's a typical layer of authentication that the industry is using out there.
Okay, so it's something that we've all kind of used before in some way
absolutely.
Or another. I feel like everyone would have come across it.
So if you've got an iPhone or a smartphone, it's all on there.
Yeah, it's one of those things that always feels slightly annoying because it slows you down in your logging in process, doesn't it? But it is important, right? Can you tell us why it's so important?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do is to prove to the system that you are who you say you are. So it is a way of working that's going to be changing for people. However, we've taken a lot of user research on board and we've tried to make it as seamless as possible. So what we have done is we've tried to look at the way people work, how they access their information, how they access their systems, and just dock in this different level of security at different areas. So for a user who is signing on in their normal way of working, this shouldn't be too disruptive. It's just an extra code to put in to make sure that their data and information is secure.
Okay, we'll get into all the details of it very soon. What is it protecting? What sort of data can it protect and why is it important to protect that data?
So MFA can protect all data or whichever data you want to point that MFA at. So we at Ministry of Defence want to protect as much data as possible. So if you logged into a computer today at your workstation, you would have had access to all of the information that is on the system. So your emails, your Teams, your SharePoints, all those sorts of things where data is stored. And the computer system knows who you are and allows you access to that data. Now, if somebody hostile or somebody was attempting to get in on your credentials and they triggered an MFA prompt, they would have to authenticate to say that you are who you say you are. If that failed, you would be denied service. You'd be denied access to that system.
It's another level of security then, isn't it? What sort of people are trying to access this data and what could happen if they did get to it?
Well, the goal is that in an ideal world, only users who are supposed to access the data would access it. But obviously, we know as from the UK's position and working with our allies across the world, we know that we're heavily targeted. So we know that people are trying to get access to our information. Now, information can be stored at official or official sensitive. And there are obviously lots of documentations, architectural drawings, people's identities, projects they're working on, mission threads, that sort of thing that can all be stored on these systems. So we need to make sure that's protected safely.
Absolutely. Okay, so we know all about multi-factor authentication now, the importance of it as well. And we've seen it already in some parts of our everyday lives. Why is MOD looking to introduce it to the ModNet official?
So it's already in Modern Official in some guise. So as the users who work for Ministry of Defence will know, that they have to put in certain passcodes or passwords to get into the system. But we're adding that extra layer in, that extra ring fence. So typical with your house, you know, you may put a lock on your front door and your back door. We're now going around to make sure the windows have got locks on and all those sorts of things. So any hostiles can't get into the system. So that's why Mod wants to do it. It's the way the world is changing with cyber. It's the way people access information. There's a big push to make access to information much more user-friendly. So you mentioned it at the top of the show. You know, it can slow you down. We don't want that to happen. We want people to have readily available access to information. So we need to make sure the process is as seamless as possible. So we work very hard to make sure that happens.
Okay, and we'll get into how people are going to be introduced to it very soon. But what will implementing MFA do?
It will boost the UK's cyber security, long and short. We work with, not just in the UK, but obviously abroad, with allies and with hostile territories. We need to make sure that if the allies are giving us information, that it's secured safely. As you can imagine, from an identity point of view, people's identities are very, very sensitive, and we've got people who we need to know whose their identities are, and we've got people we need to make sure that other people don't know who our identities are. So we need to make sure that information is protected, we need to make sure that the way people work is protected, and we need to make sure that we're fit for a modern workforce as well, because a lot of people work remotely now. You know, Ministry of Defence is exactly that. It's a broad church of different roles. And we've got people out on deployment. We've got people in offices. We've got people in submarine stations. We need to make sure that their experience and their security posture is never compromised.
Absolutely. And whilst it's one step for you and when you're logging in, it can really protect someone else's identity, their security. So it's not just about protecting your own data. It's about protecting other people's data as well.
Yeah, that's it. So we often say in cyber that the user, the person on the front line, is the person accessing the system. So we've all got a responsibility for us and our colleagues to protect all that information, because if I was lax with my security posture and I allow people to come in through my network, they may not be after my information, but they'll be using my route in to get other people's information. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right there, Claire.
Yeah, okay. So when using it, when will you be prompted to use MFA?
So we've got a very clever system in that prompts if some unusual activity happens. So if somebody has a change of working pattern or is logging in on a new system, then a prompt will happen, and that will create them a chance to put in the unique code that they've been given or a security key which they've been given. That being said, if everyone works in exactly the same pattern and never do anything unusual, then it's automatically going to prompt every 7 days. Now, again, that's a safety net, so that even if the person is in and they're working in a standard scenario, they still are prompted. That being said, we can adjust the dial of our security posture. So if we find that the threat to the UK is increasing, we can reduce that time period for that authentication so that we can tighten up on security. But also, we've got a business need and we want to make sure people's experiences are as seamless as possible. So for the average user who goes into the same desktop every day and works on the same computer, they won't see too much disruption. But for a user that's in and out of different security zones or on different devices, they'll often see that as a security posture weakness. So we'll increase the prompts for them.
Okay, cool. And how does it work then? Is it a text code? Is it a security key that you've mentioned? Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so we've got two main ways of authenticating yourself. So one is the Microsoft Authenticator app. So people will be using these already in their regular working ways with other companies or with banks and those sorts of things. So it's an authenticator app which can be used online and offline. But for those who request it or those who work in security zones, they'll also get a security key. So the security key token is something you plug into your laptop. You put your finger on it to prove you're a real person, and you put a code in as well.
Okay, cool. That sounds good. I've not heard of that before, so that's good. Because sometimes you get a text with a code in. Does that mean there is someone elsewhere trying to log in as you, and this is the security kind of flagging up? What should you do at that point if you realize that that's happening?
Yeah, so if you realize, or if you're aware of suspicious activity, please do report it to your local security officer. There's a document called a SIRF, a security incident realization form, that we can complete, but your first instance is LSO or line manager, and obviously go through the internal channels, and we'll document that. Do not attempt to contact the person you think might be accessing the information incorrectly. Just please go through your local security officer. So I just want to point out, we've actually removed the opportunity for people to get text codes. We find instead of getting, when people were getting text codes, that was quite phishable. So that was quite an opportunity for people to send fake codes, to spam people's mobiles constantly, four or five messages, and you think, well, which one's the real one? And then you'll get a message say, oh, click here and we'll verify your ID. All those sorts of things, we've removed that. So what happens now is it's an encrypted app on your mobile phone, or the security key. The security key is something you have on you as a person. So even if I had your credentials, Claire, and I tried to get into your laptop now, because I don't have that security key, which is something you hold personally, I can't get in. So it's that extra layer, non-phishable technology.
Okay. Now, I know there's quite a lot of barriers in place at Ministry of Defence for a very good reason. Mm-hmm. Downloading the Authenticator app that you said about, sometimes it comes up with a scanning a QR code. Is that okay to scan that one?
Yeah, so this is something that Mod particularly done a lot of thought about, because what we don't want is people pointing mobile phones at computer screens and taking pictures and those sorts of things. So if you are prompted to scan a QR code on a Mod device, there's a policy, so there's a PSYOPs on what to do and how to do it. If you feel uncomfortable scanning the QR code, you don't have to. You can click on the screen and it will give you a unique code to put in, and that will relay to your mobile phone. But scanning the QR code should be fine, because you're using the Authenticator app. So that's encrypted technology, and that shouldn't allow you to take any data or any capture any screenshots or anything like that. A sensible way of working would be to minimize all your other screens if you are concerned about it. So please just minimize all your screen, just leave the QR code up there, scan the QR code. You should not be prompted to take photos or anything like that, and the QR code will do the rest of the work.
Good to know. Okay, what about MOVD users?
So MOVD users, so this is Mod Virtual Desktop, are out of scope for our version of OMFA. That being said, they also have a different version of multi-factor authentication, and we work hand in glove with our partners in MOVD. So what I would say is that the support wrap and how we deal with users' inquiries or problems are often heavily aligned. So we've made sure that what we do now works across the enterprise, so that if people are experiencing difficulties, they can dock into our support network. So we work very closely with the MOVD partners, but if you've got a ModVD laptop, go through the ModVD channels.
Yeah, okay, good to know. Now, what's this rollout going to look like? Will it just happen all of a sudden? How's it going to work?
We're trying hard to avoid the big bang, the sort of all of a sudden experience, because it's a big change of ways of working for people. Although it's quite seamless and quite painless, when you first dock in and when you first start using it, there's obviously a different way of working. So what we've done is strategically chosen two sites. We're out live in those sites at the moment. Uptake is really good. So as of yesterday, we had over 1,000 users in 24 hours register and sign on to MFA. So it's really quite positive. Lots of good feedback, lots of good engagement with the communities in those on those sites. Once we've successfully completed those sites, which will be early January next year, we'll be then be moving through the rest of the Ministry of Defence enterprise and contacting local representatives to say MFA is on its way.
Yeah, nice. Hopefully when people have heard this as well, they'll be more aware of it. Get straight in there, get yourself signed up. As we've heard, it's not a hard thing to get involved with at all.
No, so we actually went out to one of the sites we're in where we're doing lots of communications to users about it, and we found that people were approaching us to say, can I register? So we actually opened the way of engaging with us so that people can voluntary register, and we had over 1,000 people in 24 hours voluntary register for MFA. So that was really, really impressive. So one thing I would say Mod is particularly good at is when there's a call to action, we as a community do come together as a workforce to make sure, especially with things with security, that we adopt those best practices as quick as possible.
Brilliant. Now, what support is available if people are struggling with this and the new way of working?
So there's lots of support. So we've got an online SharePoint Pulse site, so people can, in their own time, look at all the knowledge-based articles, watch videos on how to do things, download the user guides. We've also got a support desk where people can phone and ask the questions. So this morning I did some stats and we had over 50 calls yesterday to the support desk of people using how to get the app to work, all those kind of good things.
Yeah.
And all of those calls were resolved at that first line. So that was really positive. So we know that the user guides are working. We know that if you have to call the support desk, you can. Don't forget, though, some of your colleagues will be using it as well, so feel free to ask your peers. But we've also got local security officers, those LSO communities, that we've done a lot of early engagement with. And as we move through the different sites through the enterprise, we'll be making sure that LSO community are well supported to be able to help people on the ground as well.
Yeah, and it's always important to remember with these things and new technology and stuff that's coming out, there's never a stupid question. If you're thinking about it, someone else is probably also thinking about it and struggling with that same thing as well. So just ask, it's always easier.
Yeah, definitely. We took a really good approach to our sort of user research. We took a lot of feedback from users that were struggling, users that found it difficult. We also completed an EQIA assessment, which is an equalities impact assessment, to make sure people who struggled with smartphones or didn't have smartphones or struggled with disabilities were taken into consideration as well.
Good, nice. Good to hear. So hopefully it's all going to roll out super smoothly and it sounds like it's been so well thought out and it's going to come to everyone very soon. What is your top tip to protect yourself against any sort of cyber attack, Richard, finally?
So we work on a zero trust approach. So if in doubt, even if you think you've been contacted by someone you know or someone that looks familiar or sounds familiar on the phone or it's a text message or an email that looks familiar, challenge it. Just ask the question, is this actually from that person? So I always work on a zero trust approach. It makes spotting phishing and unusual emails or activities on your account very easy to spot. So that would be my number one tip. The number one thing takeaway is work on a zero trust approach. It's how we're going to dock into our allies abroad. And it's an architecture we're following as well from a secure by design perspective.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Richard. We've learned a lot there and hopefully that multi-factor authentication rollout is going to work so well. Thank you for joining us, Richard.
Thanks for your support, Claire. Best wishes.
That was Richard Curtis, who runs the Digital Identity for Defence programme at the MOD. Look out for more episodes in this series. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more by emailing the team at cyberconfident@mod.gov.uk.